Today, I wanted to share a few words before our Dharma sharing about deep listening and loving speech, loving communication. So in many traditions, this practice of deep listening is shared often. How do we listen deeply? And also this practice of kind speech or kind, loving speech. In our tradition, we invite in deep listening and loving speech. And for today, I'd like to invite us to think about deep listening and loving communication as the same thing. So often when we're sharing about deep listening and loving speech or communication, we're thinking about outwardly. Certainly when we share about when we share the Dharma sharing guidelines and we invite us to practice with that, listen deeply to each other and use kind speech, nonviolent speech, speech that doesn't harm. And so often we use the words in the context of outside of us. And so I'd like to invite us to think about the listening inward, the deep listening to ourselves. At the end of our meditation today, I invited us to listen to what's there at the end of the in-breath, and then what was there at the end of the out-breath. So can we listen for the silence inside? What's there when everything else drops away? When the movement of the breath drops away, just before we become aware of it leaving, the stillness in between the thought, the words and the thought. This morning I went for a hike. Can we slow down enough to listen to what's between the this and morning? Or are we so on automatic? Which we are, that we miss what is in between, because it's not a done sentence. Just because we have it in mind that we're going to say, this morning I went for a hike. In that moment, between the this and the morning, there's something else there that can, at that moment, shift everything. And so, because each moment keeps coming, appearing and disappearing, right? The conditioned nature of everything. And so when we actually drop into that stillness, when we slow down, when we pause, what is there when we actually pause? And this is the wonder of this practice, is stopping and looking. What happens when we stop? So what happens when we become still, when we drop the distractions, the thoughts, the sound coming into the air, the odor that might be around us, the eyes are closed. We're not taking in anything into the taste sensation. We're not getting caught up with the sensation on skin, the skin tone. So we drop all the sense doors, including the mind, thought, and we listen deeply for what is there. And that moment of listening is the moment where we are communicating in a very different way than the way we usually communicate. The self-talk, right? That's the way we communicate with ourselves. We tell ourselves what we're going to do next. We tell ourselves the next thing we're going to say. We remind ourselves of something that happened earlier. We interrogate ourselves as to how we went through something. We plan the next moment. So there's a whole lot of self-talk. So this loving communication in this moment of stillness, it all becomes the same, because the way we're communicating with ourselves in that moment is with that stillness. So the deep listening becomes the communication. I'm actually communicating with the silence, because I'm listening so deeply. This is the way I communicate. And in that moment, we're doing, everything comes together. And so why is that so important? Well, for many reasons, right? Because we then get to know ourselves. We get to know what else is there underneath all the movement of mind and distractions of the sense doors. This getting to know the depth of who we are, that is often so not available to us. We get to see the self. And in that seeing, we get to decide why we do the things we do, where our fears may be, how did it come about? Why do we get angry at this when someone else meeting the same situation doesn't get angry? So this listening inside is so much a part of our practice, our path of transformation. We get to see where we're stuck. So it's not a thought exercise, it's a dropping into what is there. And it's so important. So this morning I went on a hike and I was looking, I'm going to share this picture. So you see here the brambles and the small twigs and branches that have been caught here. And I was walking along in the water. And what I began to notice was there was this current of water coming consistently. And then wherever there was a block, be it a small block, I don't know if it'll let me show the other one. So here's another, just these little leaves and this little twig or branch, it shifted the way the water flowing. This leaf was caught here. See this? Leaf was caught here. This rock being here shifts the direction of how the water flows. This big rock here, right? The water is coming. And when it reaches here, it goes around the rock. Can't go through the rock, not at this time. And maybe when it's high, the tide's high enough, it'll go over the rock, right? It'll clear the rock. So why is this important? Or why is this relevant? So the way we have accumulated our challenges in our body, what has become tension, stuckness, walls, knots, the formation, the energetic formation of our entire life is in our body. It's held in the body, not just our body, and not just this lifetime, countless lifetimes. Our ancestors, the DNA that we inherited, it's in us. And it's manifesting in us in different ways. The lifetimes, the thing that happened yesterday. And depending on how in our body, it's in our mind too. But we think often that everything is the way we're thinking. And yet, for everything that's happening in thought and mind, there's the body that also holds the energy. And so in our body, when we think about energy flowing in and out, we want to maybe invite in thinking around the same thing with the water. If we have things that are not transformed in us, things that from when we were three years old, perhaps, and someone did something that really hurt us, or something from a previous lifetime, or something from our ancestors. It's just like the river and the creek. When there's a block in us, things don't flow. Not only that, but when something else happens, it can get stuck and it grows bigger. Just like you see how that little leaf was caught up in the little branches, the little brambles. And so think of the body standing there. Someone comes along, says something maybe inappropriate. Two people, the other person standing there, says something, they hear the same thing. Let's say for our history, we have a big rock formation, meaning a big hurt, a big unresolved, untransformed hurt. Something that's knotted up like a big, deep fear. And so that word or that phrase that was just said, think of it like the leaf. It gets caught and it makes it bigger. And maybe the person who's standing next to us, maybe they don't have such a big rock in there from some old hurt because they didn't have the same sets of experiences that we had. Their social identities are different. We're bringing it all in here, right? Bringing the identity we hold as folks of color, our genders, our sexual orientations, our place of birth, regardless of where we are geographically in, our class status. All these things have determined how many places in this body and mind we have formations, right? We call them mental formations sometimes. And those mental formations, they're not just mental. They're things in our body that also have energetic nodes and knots and formations that sometimes become so big, like the rock you saw in the middle of that creek or that little stream, that it makes everything shift around it. So the person that was standing next to us who has a different milieu, if you will, their feel of formations is different because of, again, their life experiences, their genetic history, their previous lifetimes, their social identities, right? They're different. And so this person next to us, the phrase that was said, it may be that they have a tiny little branch there. So it just moves right along. Wasn't even noticeable. Maybe they didn't have anything there. And yet the person next to them, hearing the same thing, they have this whole big rock there. So what was said like really gets caught up, and it gets caught up that it really reverberates and it causes another response in the body and mind. And this is us, that creek, that stream that I was looking at this morning that I'm trying to share visually, but I know it's hard to share if we're not there. This is us. This is our body and mind. What formations we have from our histories, it's there. And in every engagement we have in the world, not just an engagement from outside, but the thought formation, it also impacts what is there, what mental formations are there, what bodily formations have been there. And this is why we are invited always in our practice to stop, to pause, and look deeply to see what is there. What is there in this body and mind? Why do we keep saying body and mind is one? Or do we just say it? Body and mind is one, because there's a way that everything that we think has its own bodily formation. When we follow our breath, some of us do this, we follow our breath and we move the breath energy down to the toes, and we can feel where the breath energy gets stuck. We can feel where our energetic anger lies, where our energetic fear is, where our energetic peace and love is as well. Where it's spacious and open. So sometimes when we do meditation, the invitation is to notice where it's spacious in the body and invite the energy there to go to an area that's stuck. And just sit with it. Just take care of it. Good care of it. Just be there like a good friend. And so what's all that about? Well, that's the same thing. It's inviting in the spaciousness to be with, to help start to dissolve those knots, those tensions, those walls that have been built up, those big rocks. Maybe it's just starting and it's just like some of the other photos, just a little leaf and a twig that's kind of caught right now. And yet, if it's not taken care of and more things build on it, it becomes big. You can even say at some point it becomes a dam. And think about beavers when they build their dam. It's one branch at a time. And that's what we do. One thought, one interaction, one self-talk at a time. We build up these things in us. And our practice of stopping and looking deeply in that space in between the words and the thoughts is this new way of communicating with ourselves in this beautiful way. Seeing what's there. Wow. Okay, I see you now, my friend. I know what to do. I know next time I am silent, I will come and be with you. And slowly, we come back home to this body and take good care of it. So when we say come back home and take good care, it's not just the external body we're taking good care of. It's what is inside this vehicle, that this form that we have been blessed in this human form to inhabit. And all the beautiful, wondrous things we did in previous lifetimes that resulted in us being reborn in this human form. Wow. And so what do we do to honor and take good care of this form? It's really important to understand that it's not a one size fits all. It's why we respond differently to things. It's why we have something happen in the world and someone gets really upset. They become very depressed. And then someone keeps moving. And so we become aware that there's no judgment. There's this knowing, this it's like this and the recognition that it is interconnected as well, right? We're not these solitary individuals that don't have impact on each other. I'm like this because you're like that. We have impact. You're like that because I'm like this. And it's such a deep, deep understanding that. And so knowing that, it makes us even more aware and careful to take good care. Because you're like that, because I'm like this. And how am I showing up? And affecting how you are. So deep looking, taking time to be silent so that we see and we know what it is that may need to be done. This is part of our practice. Yes, we act. And we act with the insight of the deep looking, not just outside and listening deeply to others, the deep looking inside, the listening in between the movement and the words. That sometimes will only show up when that is silenced. And again, during these times when we feel really pulled or pushed to do something because so much is happening in the world, how do we act from that place of deep listening so that what we're bringing outside of us is informed from this deep knowing of what's inside? Because that deep knowing of what inside is going to advise us in how to be outside in the most beautiful way. the way that will affect change outside. So we'll stop there and invite in the Dharma sharing portion. I'm going to invite a bell. We can breathe in and breathe out and let it all go. What was just shared, just let it go.